Good evening, everyone. I'd like to begin this evening by turning to the third chapter of the book of Acts, if you will, and we'll look at verses 1 through 10. Third chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 10. Now, over the years, this passage has been used as an example of a miracle taking place where the one being healed did not, I repeat, he did not have faith in Jesus Christ prior to the actual healing. As a matter of fact, there is no indication at all that the one being healed even ever heard of our Lord Jesus. But there is so much more in this passage, lessons that we can all learn and profit from. So with this in mind, let's look at Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, where the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." I want us to look at verse 6 again, where Peter said, "Such as I have, give I thee." What a wonderful statement here. What a wonderful statement. You know, brethren and friends, no Christian can isolate himself or herself from the world, and it's not the Lord's wish that the Lord's wish or desire that we do so. Turn your Bibles, if you will. Keep your ribbons in Acts 3 and turn your Bibles to John the 17th chapter, if you would. In John 17, chapter verses 14 and 15, as Jesus was praying to his Father, he said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from evil." We are physically in this world. We are physically in this world, and as Christians, we are living representatives of our Lord. It is unthinkable, therefore, that a Christian can be in the world and not be a blessing to the world. As disciples of Christ, we should seek to do good to those around us, and I think the principles set forth in Acts 3, verses 1 through 10 that we just read provide us with instructions as to how to go about it. In that passage, there are five main things that I would like for us to notice. Number one is that beggar sitting at the beautiful gate of the temple. Now, that gate was described by Josephus, who was a Jewish historian at that time. He described that gate as being made of Corinthian brass, 50 cubits high and 40 cubits wide. For us to better understand, that's approximately 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. It was covered with plates of silver and gold that were much thicker than were the plates that adorned the other gates. Doesn't that make for an interesting contrast? Think about it. What an interesting contrast here. Here was that gate covered with the riches of the world, gold and silver, and lying before it was the beggar, the absolute bottom of the social economic scale. Now, that beggar was a real, live, historical figure. He wasn't some imaginary figure. He was a real, live man. But it is also possible to say that he can represent something that is ever present today, those in need. We have watched, all of us have watched the news. We have seen the starving children and the poor and desolate that are abroad and some here in the United States. We have all seen and we've all known people with very real physical material needs. But man's needs are not solely material in nature, and if the truth be known, man's most important needs are not physical in nature, and to think that they are is a terrible, terrible mistake. Man needs other things even more, such as human sympathy, encouragement, love, and most important of all, he needs to know the way to salvation. He needs to know what to do to put himself in a right relationship with God. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 3 for a moment, please. Revelation chapter 3. The second point I want to make is, I want us to notice something else about that passage in Acts 3. There were Peter and John standing at the door of opportunity. In Revelation 3 and verse 8, we see somewhat similar circumstance. There we read, Revelation 3 and verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Literally speaking, the Lord had given, he had set before the church of Philadelphia the open door of opportunity. And this door was the Lord's gift to his people in Philadelphia. The point is, all opportunities for service are a gracious gift from God. Looking at it that way will help us to fulfill the teaching of Galatians 6 and verse 10, where Paul says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith. And one more point I think is appropriate to mention here is that Peter and John's opportunity came to them at the hour of prayer. It came at the hour of prayer. I think that it's a good example for us, and I think that without a doubt the Scriptures teach that prayer will open the doors of opportunity. I don't know about you, but I pray daily for someone to study with, to have an opportunity to show them the way to heaven, to show them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as most of you remember our study in Colossians 4:3, Paul said, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, he says, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Back to Acts 3. The third point that I would like for us to notice from Acts 3 are the first words of Peter as he fastened his eyes on that crippled beggar. Peter said in verse 4, look on us. He said, look on us. Peter was saying, in effect, look on us as representatives of Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew the 5th chapter, verses 14 through 16? Let's turn and read that familiar passage. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Peter's words fit the message of Jesus so completely. His words fit the message of Jesus so completely. Peter was also saying to that man, look on us for a means of help, he said. Look on us for a means of help. Christians are to offer practical ways of assistance to those who are in need. It doesn't do much good, does it, to offer words of sympathy to those in need and to stop at that when we have it within our means to help them in a practical way. I know most of you remember the words of James in James 2, verses 14 through 18, and let's read that. James chapter 2, 14 through 18. James wrote, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Christians, through their good works, will shine as a light glorifying their Father in heaven. Back to Acts chapter 3, if you would. Now, the fourth thing I want us to notice are the very next words of Peter. He said in verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none." Now, let's look at that. There are some things a great deal more valuable than money. I know that the world today doesn't look at it that way, but there are things more valuable than money. Silver and gold are only worth the things that they'll purchase, and nothing more and many times a great deal less. Money cannot purchase health, it cannot purchase happiness, it cannot, and most importantly, it cannot purchase acceptance with God, and that's what we need most. That's all that really matters when you get right down to it, acceptance of God. Most of us here are much like Peter and John in the sense that we don't possess great amounts of silver and gold, and yet none of us are too poor to give such as we have, such as we have. Not having silver or gold, what were some of the things that Peter and John gave that man lying at the gate of the temple? What are some of the things they gave him? He didn't have silver and gold, mind you. Well, they obviously gave him his health and the ability to walk, which he had not had up till that time. They gave the man, through the Lord Jesus, mind you, the opportunity to walk, something that most of us take for granted, but something that he had not had a chance to enjoy. That was wonderful, but they gave him so much more. They gave that man hope. They gave him hope. Here was an adult, lame from his mother's womb, whose existence of being laid daily at the gate of the temple to beg from those who were entering in. This man had probably never expected to do or to be anything other than a crippled beggar. But through their kindness, he could now do the things that other men do. What a blessing. What a blessing. But there was still more. They gave that man the awareness of the power of God. He lay there at that gate of the temple every day, but now he really knew the power of God. And upon being healed, that man got up and he went into the temple with them, something he had never been able to do before. Now he is walking, he is leaping, and he's praising God. What excitement! But there is still more. They gave that man love. They gave him love. Some people have the talent, or if you call it that, some people have the talent of giving help, offering assistance, and being able to do it without love. They seem to want more than anything that the person they're helping and everybody else remember that they are the ones who gave the assistance. I believe that a gift without love of the giver is hardly a gift at all. It is little more than a loan. Love is what motivated Peter and what motivated John. Love for the Lord and love for that crippled man is what motivated them. And the fifth and final point I want us to notice from that passage are the results that follow the actions of Peter and John. We've already briefly noticed the reaction of the beggar, but let's notice it again. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3 and look at verses 7 and 8 again. "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." What a glorious picture is presented here. Here was this crippled man from birth, now fully healed. He was walking, and indeed he was leaping, and all the while giving glory to its rightful owner, the man was praising God all the while. Then there was the effect of the multitude. Verses 9 and 10 tell us, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at the alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." They were filled with wonder and amazement. The people, the multitude was. So now immediately following this, Peter delivered a sermon. Immediately following, he delivered a sermon. And as we move over to chapter 4 and verse 4, we see the ultimate results of that sermon. Verse 4 of chapter 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000. Isn't it obvious that for the kingdom of God to be enlarged as God has designed it, it is necessary for the Lord's people to use what they have, to give such as they have, and to do such as they can do. This has always been the case, my brethren. It has always been the case. Remember Moses. Moses, with the slow speech and the slow tongue, through his faith in God, he used what he had. Jesus fed the multitude with the things that they had, the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. Turn your Bibles to Mark 12. Let's look at the story of the poor widow. Most of us know it, but let's look at it. Mark chapter 12. Now the poor widow in Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44, gave what she had. Verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Brethren, we all must give such as we have. We all do not have the same things, but we all have something that we can give. All of us have something that we can give. Some can speak well and comfortable before a Bible class or an auditorium filled with people, and they should do that. Others are particularly good with their hands, and there is much service of that nature to be rendered. My dad was an excellent carpenter, and the things over at Expressway, the tables and chairs and things at Expressway in the kids' class, my dad made every one of those. He didn't get up and speak, but he did the things behind the scenes. We've got people that do a lot of things behind the scenes. Brother Charlie, did you notice that always our marquee out here has passages and so on it? He takes care of that. We don't even know it. He does it. He's over here lots of times. I came over here the other day, and Charlie was here checking the electricity. He said the lights are out in that marquee there. He takes care of those things that we don't even know about. And Brother Don used to do that. Brother Ron, and I've seen him out here picking up trash or whatever the people throw on the and Wanda, and cutting the shrubs. We have people that do things behind the scene that we don't even know of. So that's all of us can do that. All of us can use the phone. All of us can write a card and or type a letter to encourage others and encourage those who are down, or invite someone to study the Bible with us, or go come to service with us. We can all do that. We can all do that. Each of us has the gospel of the Lord Jesus within our grasp, and it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth. Such as I have, I give thee. Such as I have, I give thee. If you would turn to Romans chapter 1. This reminds me of Paul's statement in Romans 1, verses 14 and 15. When Paul wrote, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. In other words, Paul was going to give all that he had, and brethren, so should we. You know, when I was putting this lesson together, when I was thinking about an invitation, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 came to my mind, and I'd like for you to turn your Bibles there. I want to conclude our lesson tonight by reading together 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It is a chapter of encouragement, it is a chapter of passion, and it is a chapter of inspiration. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the light of Christ's gospel. Paul said, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondsmen for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who have shone in our hearts to give the light of its knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen now. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke. And we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Brethren, I believe what Paul is saying here. I believe what Paul is saying here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is what I say most every Sunday. I believe he is saying, if you miss heaven, you've missed it all. If you miss heaven, you've missed everything. If there's anyone here this evening who needs to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, I ask you to come forward, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And if you have, some Christians here maybe have not been living the way you should have, you too can take care of that now by coming forward and let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help anyone, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.